Saga Egmont presents The Melodramatists by Howard Nemirov and read by Kelly Burke. If I should undertake to write in praise of a gentlewoman, I would neither praise her crystal eye nor her cherry lip, etc., for these things are trite et obvia. But I would either find some supernatural cause whereby my pen might walk in the superlative degree, or else I would undertake to answer for any imperfection that she hath, and thereupon raise the praise of her commendation. George Gascoigne. A Note on the Melodramatists by William Mills. Perhaps understandably, Howard Nemirov's reputation as a fiction writer is sometimes overshadowed by his very great reputation as a poet. After all, he was our third poet laureate, and the many prizes awarded him, which include the National Book Award, the Pulitzer, and the Bollingen, were substantially for his poetry. He was, however, a man of letters, one who, for example, has written a body of criticism so lucid and insightful as to be envied by those who solely pursue that activity. The same wit and mind imbue the fiction. The Melodramatists, his first novel, appeared in 1949, 2 years after his first book of poems. It opened to mixed reviews, one of which by Diana Trilling describes it as a considerable first novel, literate and entertaining, with a nice satiric barb. The time of the novel is 1940 to 1941, prior to the American entrance into the war. The setting is a restricted one, somewhat in the manner of Jane Austen, most of the novel taking place in a single house, with infrequent excursions by the characters to an apartment or a bar in Boston. The central action of the novel is never attenuated by distant minor actions, but is intensified by the dramatic irony of a macro world going to pieces outside Boston, while the one of our story disintegrates center stage. The father, Mr. Boyne, remonstrating with his son Roger, who wants to divorce his wife, remarks, "For a while I thought the country might go to war to help Britain. That would have been a horrible mistake, a direct contravention of the Monroe Doctrine. But you would have been in the army. In the army they would have smartened you up, I'll say. But there'll be no war for us. We learned last time when we're well out of it." A little further in the same chapter, Roger thinks to himself, "It was funny to see that they were both offering up Leonora, his wife, on the altars of an armed truce. Rather, he thought, like Munich." The first chapter opens on a scene that suggests a novel of manners. The members of a wealthy family are having dinner in their Boston mansion. The reader is quickly taken into the middle of a domestic quarrel precipitated by Roger's intention to divorce Leonora. Straight away, Nemirov the satirist sets up contrasts, the first of which, ironically, couples wealth with misery. "When Claire's mother wept, as she did now, all the jewels on her fingers and at her throat winked in sparkling connivance, as at a joke which, they seemed to say, you too might appreciate were you as detached as stone, cold as this sapphire, hard and cutting as this diamond." Mrs. Boyne's tears fell heedlessly where they might, into her coffee, over the bright little spoons and dessert knives, stained the damask cloth. Her back rose and fell in genteel, choking spasms. The little jewels caught the light and flashed with a terrible brilliancy. Other contrasts are manifest. No one seems concerned about Roger's troubles, only about appearances. Mr. Boyne worries about the public scandal that reflects private weakness, and Uncle Fred, also at the dinner, and running for state senator, worries simply about the public scandal. I would like to call special attention to the jewels that wink in sparkling connivance as at a joke, which, they seemed to say, you too might appreciate were you as detached as stone. One way to read the Melodramatists is as one large, complicated joke. From what we have read about or by Nemirov, we know that he takes jokes.